Hello, everyone. Welcome to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for another wonderful day that He has made. God is good and always mightily moving by His Spirit. He has so much to say as we draw near to Him. He has so much to offer us. You know, we can gain intelligence from the Holy Spirit. We have the ability to learn things that we normally couldn't learn. He can show us what our enemy is doing. He can help us to see future paths that we choose to take. And it's a wonderful thing to have inside information from God. And the Holy Spirit lives in us. And to help us do the work, He's upon us. And I love having Him around. You know, my favorite scripture is the Holy Spirit will come, when the Comforter will come, He will guide you into all truth. And I love it. The Lord has helped me so many times to take the path of my best option. And to me, that's priceless. And so many times people don't utilize what God has given them by the Holy Spirit. Anyway, we're going to pick up where we left off last time. God loves us and He's truthful. And He will help us do what's our business to do. We left last time when David, he was in the wilderness of En-Gedi. And Saul went looking for him there. And they were in the mountain region, and David cut a part of Saul's robe, and Saul went to use the bathroom, and David sneaked up and cut his robe. And so we stopped around verse 8 in chapter 24, 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 24, verse 8 says, David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried out to Saul, saying, "My lord the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, "Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, 'Behold, David seeketh thy hurt'? Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into my hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee, but mine eye spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for He is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the skirt of my robe and killed thee not, know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand. And I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom doest thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see, and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. And it came to pass, when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, "Is this thy voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, "Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed this day how that thou has dealt well with me, for as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killest me not. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good for that thou hast done unto me this day. And now, behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. Swear now therefore unto me by the Lord, that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David sware unto Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men got up into the hole. See, now David was wise. He knew this, that Saul just spoke kind words, but he got away from him because he's wise. You can't trust a person that will kill for position. A person that loves position more than God should not be trusted. Period. He loved his position and the praise of men more than he loved God. Just like the Pharisees, it's no different. That's why they were so deadly. They're the ones who pushed Pilate to have Jesus killed. So Pilate tried to rescue him out of their hands, and he asked the people to vote which one they would be set free, and then the people rose up against Jesus too. Because that old influence was still there. When people love this world more than they love God, that is the way they behave. It doesn't matter if they got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and anointed of God. When people turn their first love and they start looking at the world more than they look at God, everything changes. Everything. Saul was an anointed man, a prophet even. But he killed priests and the people of the priest's hometown, trying to kill David. And David didn't kill him. And this happened twice. David spared his life. Now I'm going to tell you something about Saul. You may wonder, well, when Saul changed, why didn't God just kill him and take him out of office? And I can answer that. There's a law called sowing and reaping. For years, Saul did what was right. He even raised his children right. They were not murderers like he was. He became that way after they were grown. He was a good king. Was a good king till he got it. Till he changed. He stopped looking unto the Lord and started looking at the people, and loving his position. He went astray. But before that, he had done what was right. And when you have spiritual wealth on your life, it's just like a bank account. When you have spiritual wealth on your life, things just can't happen just because you turn. That's why so many people linger for years after they've turned. Now, Saul didn't really die till he sought the witch. When he sought the witch, that's when he died. That's when he got killed in battle. There was not enough spiritual debt on his life for him to die. He still had years to go. But God anointed David. And the Lord thinks of everything. He evaluates everything. He wanted to destroy the old hatred. And David, he had to learn what not to do. Because people can you can turn at any stage of your life. Even after you've gotten saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, anointed and used of God, you can change your mind. That's why the enemy seeks to tempt people away from God, to get them mad at God, so that he can get them to choose on their own to love the world. And if he gets you to love the world, he becomes your king again. You become his slave again. You see, sin, if you get into sin, it becomes your master. That's why people who get it, who walk into sin, and it becomes a stronghold. They can't quit. It's just like the analogy of the spider and the fly. That spider catch that fly, he wrap him up for later. And the spider can't get away. You know, you can't even see what kind of bug he is anymore. He got so much web around him. And one strand will do it, but he's wrapped up hundreds of times. And you can't tell what he is anymore. That's, he gonna be over there for lunch whenever that spider get ready to eat him. Well, it's the same thing with sin. But it's nothing to be afraid of because Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. He gave us power over sin. Christians sin if they want to. I had good information when I first got saved. A guy named Chris Lucas, we used to work together at the grocery store. And in Huffman, the food giant in Huffman, when it was open years ago in 83. And he said Thurston, when he said, now that you're a Christian, you don't have to sin. He said, Christians sin when they if they want to. You sin has no more power over you. And you know, he told the Lord had him tell me the right things at the right time. I didn't know that. I just believed on Jesus. And he gave me good information, and it really was like the backbone of my life. Good information, inside information by the Holy Spirit is always welcome with me. Now, and you know, sin is something that you destroy. You drive it out of your life like they should have driven out the Canaanites out of Canaan land. So it won't come back to hurt you. It's just like Ray said yesterday in the Sunday school class. They didn't drive out the Canaanites because they were righteous. They drove them out because they were wicked. They were wicked witch type people. And God was going to use that land for a holy purpose. He wanted the wicked to be driven out. And since they were going to get the land, they were supposed to do it. And God was with them to help them do it. To save the earth from destruction. They had to be driven out or killed or both. See, if you have a wicked nation and it's corrupt, it spreads just like cancer. The Canaanites of Canaan land was like a cancer. They should have been destroyed and driven out. If God says kill all of them or drive them all out, that's what needed to happen. God didn't do something for nothing. It would have ended up saving more people. You get rid of Satan's occupying forces, and you occupy the land in righteousness, and you follow God in righteousness. Then everything works. Now, the Lord knew what he was doing. When the people asked for a king, he saw what would happen if they had a king. And you see what Saul did. Saul couldn't be trusted. And then he turned. And then God fired him. You turn in your heart. But the Lord can read the heart. He knows when the heart is turned. People don't walk away from their position when they turn. Preachers that turn, they keep preaching. They like the fanfare and the money and everything that goes with it. But the Lord, if the people would have sought the Lord, and if everything would have remained the same, Israel would not have had to go into captivity in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was God's backup plan. He always has one. When he made a covenant with Abraham, he had a plan and many backup plans for every plan that failed because of man. No plan failed because of God. All plans failed because of man. Man didn't keep covenant. Man didn't stay in obedience. In order to finish the work of God, you have to remain in faithful obedience. You know, reluctant obedience will work, but you're not going to be blessed the same. And that most people that I've known, most ministers, they minister reluctantly. They receive their calling reluctantly. But everything works when you become willing and obedient. And sometimes people, even though they receive the call, okay, I'm calling them, and they identify themselves as a preacher, a man or a woman of God, then they turn around and want it to work on their terms. And they never, ever learn to follow God. And they pattern themselves after those that were before them, who did not follow God. Very few people actually allow God to plug them, to position them where they should be. Many ministries are out of pocket. They're not in the perfect will of God. Some are in the right place, but they're not seeking the Lord like they should. And it's a problem. And that's what people are used to. Even great ministries, even though it's great in the eyes of man, they're nowhere near where they would be if they followed God perfectly. And then people say, well, I'm not perfect. Nobody expects me to be perfect. Let's look at this a minute. What do you have? If you start doing something, evaluate what do I have? All right, you've been given righteousness by the blood of Jesus. You arose when he arose. You're a kingdom of God in the kingdom of God. I mean, you're a king in the kingdom of God because he made us kings and priests. So we're kings. If we're kings, we have authority. If we're priests, we can represent God to all people, and we can turn around and represent all people to God at our will. We have the wisdom of the word. We have the knowledge of the word. We have the warning of the word. We have the encouragement of the word. It's written right here. We can read it. If you're having a bad day, you can find the scripture and study it and conquer your bad day. We're more than conquerors in Christ. We have all the weapons of our warfare. We have the Holy Spirit within to train us personally. We have the Holy Spirit upon to do the hard work of the ministry. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. We're yoked together with Jesus to do the work. He shows us what to do. We do our part. He do his part. As we live in faithful obedience, the door is open for us to learn even more. Whatever it is, we don't know. It doesn't matter. We begin the process as we're faithfully obedient to whatever God say do, whether it's studying the scripture or speaking a word or ministering somewhere. Faithful obedience opens the door for you to learn what you need right now to change the facts on the ground where you are. Then we're blessed with other anointed people who are guided by the Holy Spirit personally. And they have the Holy Spirit upon to give us the whatever elements we need, whatever elements of knowledge we need to grow and do the purpose of God. We can be encouraged by them. We can receive confirmations by them, even guidance by the same Spirit that guides us personally and helps us minister strong. Now, if we have all that at our disposal, why can't we do a perfect work? Why can't we follow God perfectly? We got authority over Satan. All we have to do is, just like the police, we can put our hand out and say, stop. Satan can be more obedient than Christians. When Christians tell him to stop, he'll stop. He ain't got no choice. But when the Lord give Christians something to do, some of them, they go to the council about it. They think about it. They wonder about it. They decide if they're going to do it or not. Like it's some kind of option. And if that's what the leaders do, then that's what the people who watch them do. because we bear fruit after our kind. If you're disobedient and you're over a people and God put you in a position to help people, and you're disobedient in that office, then that's what the people think is okay. They thought it was okay to you know, in chapter what 23, David, the men of Keilah was gonna. David asked the Lord, "Will the men of Keilah capture me and hand me over to Saul?" He said, "They will," because people follow the leaders. They went and told Saul where he was, and he helped them. They had to leave. David had to go to Engedi. We just read it in the last few broadcasts. See, people follow the leaders. They do whatever the leaders do is good. It's like gumbo soup. Whatever they preach their opinions with the word of God, and people eat it all. And nobody changes until somebody lives the light and do it God's way. And when somebody lives the light and follow God, it changes everything, because it's a greater standard. When you live a greater standard, then people come and start following God. Kenneth Hagin introduced faith. Charles Capps introduced confessions. Others, Kenneth Copeland, they taught faith, principles, and to help people change. And I wonder what would happen if people followed God perfectly, how much further along they'd go. And these men have done great works. But when you follow God, you do an even greater one. And I believe Kenneth Hagin, he followed God. He always did what the Lord told him to do. He was a very obedient man because he was a man of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can teach faith and be disobedient. That don't mean you're faithful. You should be, but that doesn't mean you are. If you're faithful, you do what God say, and you do it God's way, willingly and enthusiastically, not reluctantly. Because reluctance, there's wiggle room for Satan to work. Anytime you're reluctant to the will of the Holy Spirit or the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I don't want any wiggle room of Satan. I told the Lord, I said, I don't ever want to smell like the devil in your presence. I don't ever want to do something that reminds you of that rebellious angel. And I don't know how to, you know, I'm honest with God. I say, I don't always know what to do. So my best option is to trust him. My best option is to obey God immediately and learn from what he give me to do. And I enjoy the joy of the Lord. Every day is like a holiday to me. Even the hard days, when I'm having a tough time fixing cars or a lot of work to do and things don't always go right, the Lord is with me, and there's still a party going on the inside. I'm not wrestling with God about what I got to do. I'm thanking God for being with me, training me, helping me do what's necessary. It's a wonderful life that God has given us. Now, we made it to chapter 25. We're showing you how Samuel is so, what he did is a representation of the lukewarm church. When people's heart change, everything change. If your focus change, the enemy's after that tongue. That's your rudder. If he can get you to speak his deceit, your life will be full of deceit over time. Because when you're looking at things wrong, it becomes your focus. And then it becomes your conversation. And then it becomes your actions because it became your belief system. You thought it was, you know, he thought it was okay to bring the king, to not kill the king of the Amalekites and bring back the best of his flocks. And they killed the other people, but they didn't do it all because his heart turned. Now, how are you going to follow God with a turned heart? You're just not going to be able to do it. I don't recommend anybody to fear that their heart is turned. If you know that your heart is not right, do something about it. Use your authority, use your weapons, use the word, speak the word of God, and train yourself to obey Him. Decide to obey Him and reject everything that causes you to obey Him. Even up to the advice of your closest people that tell you not to obey God. Now, they don't outright tell people, well, don't obey God, do it. They just say, do it this way or do it that way. No. Do what the Holy Spirit say do. And be firm about it. Yeah, but I might lose my friends. If they turn and you lose them, you did good. Anybody that's disobedient and walk out of your life, you got promoted when they left. Even if it's your spouse. Because this is not optional. If people walk away from you because you obey God, you got promoted. Now you can go on and build your life like it's supposed to be built. And Satan doesn't have a right to control you with backslidden people. Jesus said in the first place, count up the cost. Count it up. What are you willing to do? Who do you love the most? How far will you go? Now God, he committed himself to you. Now God wrote us a blank check. Why can't we write God a blank check? We're in his kingdom. We ought to be regarding him more than anybody. That's just the way it is. I don't apologize for it. That's just how it is. Okay, chapter 25, verse 1. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep, 3,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish, which churlish means stingy, and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. Verse 4. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said to the young men, get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them. Aught means anything. all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants, and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servant and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers, and given unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned that way, and went again and came and told him all those things. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us, both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou would do. For evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a son of Belial, Belial is the devil, that a man cannot speak to him. Now we're going to pick up here next time. This is when David got promoted. because of the advice of Abigail. The Lord gives us what we need when we need it. This is a representation of the Holy Spirit guiding us personally. Now we'll pick it up here next time. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to move in your life and bless you to learn all day long. As you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.